Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
Everyone you see driving down the street out here, everyone who's filing into these other churches around us and the Jewish temple across the street and people that you see in the mall and the people who wait on you at your restaurant and everything else, those are people who are as deep when it comes to their soul as the people that you love more than anyone in the world. And God calls us to help people feel accepted. And then if God gives us an opportunity in that, to try to show them that kind of unconditional love that allows them to hopefully discover that God loves them in that way.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshiped and exalted here today.
Currently on The Balanced Word, we're looking to the Proverbs with the aim of doing life better. We call the series Smarter Living, and essentially that's what we're driving at. We're wanting to live smarter, God-glorifying lives, and pulling out certain proverbs to help us get there. Many of us are focused on improving our health. We try to eat right and exercise. But we want to encourage you to consider the health of your soul today, who you really are, and maybe something needs to be addressed. Here's Pastor Dave Raw.
I think we can sometimes become obsessed with people's behavior. Instead of just loving them deeply, we want to say, well, you need to quit smoking, or you need to not do that, or you need to, oh, you can't vote that way, or you know, we become obsessed with just what people do. That's a sign of not really connecting with people at the level of the soul. Because now you are seeing these people as the things that they do defining them, rather than realizing way beneath all that they do, there are reasons why they are the way that they are. You know, the Puritans were famous for making everything into a list of rules. Here are some of the rules when in John Calvin's Geneva, when he became such a political power that he could apply his law to the city of Geneva, they said he had no feasting, no dancing, no singing, no pictures, no statues, no relics, no church bells, no organs, no altar candles, no indecent or irreligious songs, no staging or attending theatrical plays, wearing rouge, jewelry, lace, or other immodest dress, and you are forbidden to name your children after anyone except figures from the Old Testament. So that was their pitch. Is that us? Do we just reduce people to what they do? Is all we want is to get people to stop doing the bad things that they're doing? Because if that's our emphasis, then people will end up, you know, they'll go, okay, I'll try that. Okay, I'll give up those habits. I'll stop doing that. I'll start acting like you. But then they realize that even when they're not doing the things that they're doing, they haven't addressed the soul at the depth. They haven't addressed who they really are and why they are the way they are, and trying to bring integrity into their life. Instead, you've just trained them like your dog who you're so excited because, oh, look, he'll pray for a biscuit. And you know, that's the way some people's Christian life ends up looking like. It's like, I'll do this now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Give me what, you know, what I want to receive. Now, in making soul connections with people and really receiving people as souls, grace is so important. Grace is the fact that, the Bible teaches this, that God will receive you and he will forgive all of your sins. Everything stupid that you will ever do and that you've ever done, he can wipe it away because the Bible teaches Jesus died to pay for all of our sins. And so when God makes this exchange, if we give him permission to, whereby he takes the righteousness that is his son's, that is Jesus's, and he attributes it to us, and he takes our sin, and it was placed on Jesus, and Jesus paid for that when he died. Now, that may sound like, well, wait, what, how in the world do you get that? Okay, but just without trying to delve into deep theology of you know, how this happens. Let me just ask you, doesn't that sound good? If in fact the Bible is true, and you could know that everything that you've ever done and everything that you will do that's stupid and wrong and sinful, that it will be forgiven. Well, that's what the gospel is, the good news. And it's ultimately when we understand that grace that we are able to look at people to the depth of their soul and not condemn them and not be repulsed by them and not look at what they do and go, you're worse than me. I don't even know how anybody could do what you're doing. Grace, it's so important. Sadly, in the church today, in a lot of ways, legalism and a lack of understanding of grace has made Christian people seem like they hide parts of themselves in order to be Christians. This is a very unhealthy thing to do to our souls. When we begin to pretend like we are one way and we're actually another way, or when we become duplicitous where I'm acting like this around these people and I'm acting like this when I'm by myself and I'm acting a different way when I'm with someone else, not understanding grace destroys your soul, because pretending kills your soul. Let me say that again. Pretending kills your soul. And pretending is so unnecessary. And why in the world we get baited into pretending as a way of life when we have grace, when we have God's guarantee of forgiveness, that he says, hey, if he doesn't forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, then he's not even fair. He's not just. He's not faithful. So if you're going to believe there's a God at all, believe this. If you allow him to, he makes you pure and clean for free. Now, when we understand grace, it helps us to then receive others. Because for me to look at you, and as I dig down into who you really are, there are going to be times when I look at you and go, wow, you are a messed up person. And gosh, I don't even know how you're capable of doing some of the things that you do in secret when somebody's sharing, yeah, this is who I am. If I haven't understood the principle of grace, I begin to reject people who are, I reject all the people who are worse than me. I'm drawn to people who are just like me, but I'm hoping that they're a little worse than me, therefore it helps my self-esteem. And people who seem way better than me, I just say they're just phonies. Nobody's that good. They're holier than thou. They're too good to be true. And I end up being isolated from almost everyone. But when grace exists, and realizing that grace is true is the motor that drives me to make soul connections with people, to win souls, to reach out and relate to in a deep and a personal way. Because see, every one of us, I don't care what you've done, I don't care if you're a Christian or you don't even believe in Christianity, man, the truth is, deep down inside, we're all the same. And deep down inside, if you haven't come to peace with God and you don't understand what it is to really be forgiven, then I get why you're struggling, and I can relate to it, because there was certainly a time when, for me, that was my existence. And the funny thing is, when I accepted his forgiveness, when I really began to understand his grace, and it took me years probably to do that, I realized I'm not a lot better than I was before. Because yeah, there were surface things. I quit taking drugs, I quit stealing, breaking into houses and things like that. But then I learned, man, there's stuff I do that's way worse than that. When I marginalize a person, when I'm cruel to someone, when I'm unforgiving, when I have been forgiven, when I just see the people around me as just a mass of people, when I just look at a starving child and just think, oh, just an advertising gimmick, turn the channel, I realize, man, I'm still really messed up. But when we all understand the way we all are, at least it's safe for us to admit the truth. We can stop pretending, and we can help our souls. Now, a couple other verses I want you to look at in Proverbs 14 and verse 25, because this gets down to actually, after you have received somebody as a soul, received them at the depths of their being, you want to help them. You want to receive them and then help them to be elevated above where they are right now. And in Proverbs 14 and verse 25, he says, a true witness delivers souls or rescues souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. So if you are representing God's position accurately, your heart toward every soul is to see them rescued. Now turn over to chapter 24 of Proverbs, beginning with verse 10. And he says, if you faint in the day of adversity, when times get tough, your strength is small. Deliver those, save those, rescue those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? So our job is first and foremost to see people as real souls, to see ourselves as a soul, to be able to dig down and to be honest about who we really are and accept other people the way that they are. But then, man, when you find somebody that you can help, if they are destroying themselves and if you care about them that deeply, you want to help them to learn how they too can become at peace with their soul, to become connected to God, because there's no deeper connection than to be connected to God and then connected to each other. I really don't understand why, for most of us, we can connect with people. We can meet people. We can talk to them. And usually there's one of two things that happens. There are some people who are like, come up to strangers and go, so if you died tonight, you know where you'd go tomorrow? And then pull out the four spiritual laws. And there are other people who meet people and just don't, they aren't really drawn to the person's soul, or maybe they're even burdened to the soul, but they're like, I don't want to get all weird with them. I don't want to talk to them about the fact that God loves them, that he wants to forgive them and pour his grace out on them, and that I know where they're coming from, and I want to introduce them to the ability to be set free and to really have their soul completely integrated in their being and who they are. Hey, if we really receive souls, then we certainly want to rescue them when that's possible. If we really don't care about them that much, then we have no desire to do that. And we really aren't winning anything. We're not like, okay, I got four people saved this week, four notches on my belt, four people that I'm going to count and say, you know, all together this year, 38 people that I have saved. That's not what it's about. You're not trying to win the people. If anything, what you're trying to do is to help them win. Now, in Matthew 18, Jesus talked about, man, when somebody has something against you, go to them and humbly speak with them. And if it works, you have won your brother. That's the sense in which you're winning something. That's the sense in which you're receiving someone, is that you are making a connection with them that can make a difference in their soul for all of eternity. We gain our brother, our sister. And every person who is created by our God is someone who we are related to. We all go back to the same beginning when God first created, breathed into a man and made him a soul. And every one of us are connected. Everyone you see driving down the street out here, everyone who's filing into these other churches around us and the Jewish temple across the street, and people that you see in the mall, and the people who wait on you at your restaurant and everything else, those are people who are as deep when it comes to their soul as the people that you love more than anyone in the world. And God calls us to receive, help people feel accepted. And then if God gives us an opportunity in that, to try to show them that kind of unconditional love that allows them to hopefully discover that God loves them in that way. So, what kind of sense do we make of all this? First of all, I would say for each of us, we need to consider the health of our soul. I need to look at myself, and you look at yourself, and let's see, how are we doing in terms of nurturing who we really are, in terms of integrating all the parts of our lives so that we can stop pretending, we can quit being phony, we can be real and honest and admit who we are, receiving God's grace and forgiveness. Several years ago, there was a show on TV called Everybody Loves Raymond, and Ray Romano was the star of the show. Maybe you saw it. It ran for 9 years, and at its peak, Ray Romano was making more money than any other TV personality ever. The last week of the show, they did it before a live audience, Ray Romano came out, and he took questions from the audience. And somebody said, "So, what are you going to do now?" And he said, "Well, let me tell you a story." He said, "Back years ago when I moved to New York City to pursue show business, I packed my bags and I moved to the city. And when I opened my suitcase, there was a note from my brother Richard, who's a New York City cop. And he said, the note said this, 'What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?'" His brother was quoting Matthew 16:26. And Ray Romano said, "So now I want to go try to look for my soul." How many of us actually ever come to that point where we just go, "It's time for me to get in touch with who I really am. It's time for me to wrestle with who I am before God, who I am with others." So how healthy is your soul? Now, God's word has an important role to play in this. In Hebrews 4:12, Paul says, "The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce even to the division of soul and spirit, and penetrating as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I have found that the best thing I can do for my soul is to look at God's word, to read the Bible, and then just go, "What does this tell me about me? What does it tell me about others? What does this tell me about life? What does this tell me about the ultimate, destination that I'm heading for?" That's why we study the Bible every week. It's so that God's word can sink into our souls, make us more healthy, make us more balanced, like Jesus in Luke 2:52. He grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. That's what we're looking for. That's why we call our radio program The Balanced Word, because when we look at the word, there's nothing more than God's word that can help us really come to understand who we are, why we do what we do, how we can be forgiven, how things can change for us so that we become healthier. So we need to look for that. We also need to, this week, people that we see, let's look a little deeper. It's not just a guy in the green shirt. Let's realize everyone we see is a soul. And how can we connect with people? A lot of times we just think, connecting with people isn't really that great. I just love God personally. I have my relationship with God. People are just a nuisance. I can totally understand that because I'm a person that enjoys being by myself to wrestle with my soul. But Jesus, when questioned about the Old Testament, when they said, "What's the greatest rule? What's the greatest commandment?" And he said this, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind and your strength. And the second most important is the same. Love your neighbor as yourself." You cannot connect to God on a soul level unless you are willing to also connect to people. Because Jesus said the entire law is summed up in just this. Love God with everything within your soul, and then reach out and connect with and win and receive your neighbor the same way you do for yourself. Back in the 1870s, there was a guy named Horatio Spafford who was a businessman. He was from England, but he was doing business in Chicago. In 1871, the Chicago fire wiped out his businesses. He didn't have insurance. He lost his house. He lost his business. He lost everything. And so he sent his wife and his four daughters. Their son had just died. He had four daughters, and he sent them on a ship back to England to try to start over. but he got a telegram from his wife letting him know that their ship sank and that she was the only one that had survived. All of his daughters were gone. And so, as just devastated as you might imagine, he got in a ship to head back over to England. And when they were out there in the sea, when they got to the spot where his precious little girls had died, the people on the ship said, this is the area. This is the area where the ship went down and where your daughters were lost. And he sat there in his cabin with a piece of paper and a pen, and he wrote the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And then the chorus was, "It is well with my soul, it is well with my soul." Is it well with your soul? No matter what happens, are you okay because you know you are in touch with things that make you mourn? You are in touch with things that make you rejoice, and you still have a heart for the people that God puts before you? You still enjoy connecting with other people in deep and profound ways? That's really the ultimate question that we have to ask ourselves. If we are in the business of receiving souls, have we received our own? Have we allowed God to begin to work in our lives so that we can become healthier at a deeper level so that then we can see other people for the treasures that they are and then to connect to them and offer a helping hand to them so that they can find ways to be connected? There is nothing more important that we will ever do than just to do that for other people. But it starts by us getting well enough and whole enough and honest enough and receiving grace enough that now we are able to make a difference for others. And that's what I want to challenge us to this week.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish things up in prayer, here again is Pastor Dave.
God, I thank you that you just don't see us as rebels. You don't just see us as people who break your rules constantly, who are our own worst enemies, that you loved us enough to let your son die for us. And you see us as more precious than we could ever see ourselves. Help us to receive your grace so that as we become healthier souls, as we can look and face the ugliness that we're afraid to look at in ourselves, and as we receive your grace, that we can then be wise, as Solomon says, and receive souls. Receive people who are deeper than just who they are on the surface. Bring people into our lives this week who are there so that we can practice soul reception, soul winning. Not to get them to agree with us, but to get them to understand that they can be loved unconditionally. For people who are listening, if they've never really come to that point where they have accepted your grace and they've found themselves unable to really connect with people because the people don't seem like they're worth it, Lord, shower them with your grace. Help them to know how special they are to you, how much you love them, that when you look at them, you're not disgusted by the dumb things they do, that you look at them and you are pleased because your son died for them and he was pleased to do that. Help them to know they can start fresh with you, the only one who sees their soul to its absolute depths and loves them. Help us to see others in that way too, like you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're talking about flattery and hypocrisy on the next Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rall, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and yeah.